are your hosts and co-hosts, Jenny DiCascio, Sean Kelly, and Jason Sledgehammer Ryan Pietro. Brought to you by UPRN Network. Now for your host, Jenny DiCascio.
Good evening and welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 107.7 New Orleans, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. Remember to like us on YouTube and follow us on Instagram. I'm Jenny DiCascio along with Sean Kelly and Jason Ian Pietro. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Happy Thursday.
Good to be here.
Yeah, of course.
I'm so excited tonight because we have a fabulous guest. And I'm so glad that she's here to join us. We have Marjorie Kay. She is the CEO and president of Forensic Investigation Company, director of Oz Interdimensional Communication Institute. Wow. And president of UnX Media. By night, Marjorie is a 40-year veteran UFO investigator, author, musician, and she also serves as an assistant state director and education coordinator for Missouri MUFON and as director of the Oz Interdimensional Communication Institute. Margie is a licensed private investigator in Missouri and is the author of 14 books and more on the way. Welcome to Chasing Prophecy, Margie.
I thank you.
Welcome. Hi, Marge.
Hi.
So glad to have you here tonight.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So let me tell you, before we get started, I was doing a lot of research on you, and I am very impressed. I'm a former MUFON investigator in Western Pennsylvania. Yeah. And let me tell you, MUFON has gone through a lot of changes. One thing that I never really got a handle on, and I would have loved to have done a STAR team investigator, followed that path, but I didn't. I want you to explain exactly what that is and what it entails.
Well, the STAR team investigators are seasoned investigators who have a lot of experience in the field of ufology and have done a number of investigations for MUFON. And then the state director will recommend a person for that position so that there are enough very experienced investigators in a state and also maybe to cover nearby states if someone else isn't available. So we can go in on landing cases and ET sighting cases, things like that, something where there's some evidence that might need to be collected.
Okay, so it's more in depth then. It's not like your regular field investigator that goes out with their little kit and everything. You do more of investigating.
We do. Yes.
Okay. There's You're more laughing, to it. Jason. Why? Well, it is. It's a little, yeah, you can get the kit. I didn't have the kit. Okay. I didn't have my little kit.
I think actually they're big kits
they're
now.
Big kits now.
They're like duffel bags of stuff.
Smarty pants, Jason.
Yeah, Jason. Smarty pants.
Upside the head. Okay. So I was always in. That name was kind of, STAR team investigator. I thought, do they have a badge with a star on it or anything?
They're special badges. Yeah. And if you are so inclined to wear them, I suppose you could.
I mean, I went through your bio and all these different, MUFON shows coming up. I do think I'm going to try to attend the one that's online in August. Big one. Tell us about that. It's going to happen.
That's the MUFON Symposium. It's being held in Las Vegas, and it is in person and online.
Ooh.
So no matter what, you have a choice.
That's exciting.
It's really good. Just go to MUFON.com to see more information about that event, and the public is, invited.
That's exciting. I still love going to. I missed the one in May here. Things have changed over the years. It seems like, to be honest with you, the Westmoreland County one in Pennsylvania, it's the same guest over and over. There's nothing new. No. And I like to be my mind, stimulate my mind a little bit more. But what are you going to do? Maybe I'll go out to Missouri.
We like to change it up.
Yeah, that's good. That's what it should be. It makes it more intriguing and more interesting. Yeah, Jason, you tell her. Let me ask you, what led you, what originally led you into the paranormal? I know, like, Sean, his was his encounters with an, you know, close-death encounter. Jason has some poltergeists at his house. I've always been intrigued by the paranormal. So what led you into the paranormal?
Well, I got introduced to the paranormal when I was 11 years old, and a head appeared at the bottom of my bed, floating at about 6 feet above the ground. And I hollered at my sister, who was in the other bed, and I said, "Do you see that?" And she started screaming. So I started screaming, and my father came running up the stairs. He turned on the light, and the head disappeared.
Wow.
And he asked me what it looked like, and I described it. And I said it was a man, and you know what he looked like. And he was talking, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. But it was very, very clearly, you know, an apparition, but a solid apparition. And so he went downstairs and grabbed a book and opened it, and he said, "Did he look like anything here?" And I went through and I picked out my grandfather that I'd never met.
Wow, that's cool. That's neat.
Yeah,
nice. I've heard that before.
You don't hear that very much. That's so. That was the beginning.
That was the beginning, and then that was my introduction to, I can talk to dead people, and see them. So I could see them first, and then started communicating and speaking with them, and then you know I became a medium after that, and I got introduced to UFOs when I was 17. I always had an interest in them, but I'd never seen one. My family was driving to Texas, driving through Oklahoma at the time, when my little brother pointed out this object that was following our vehicle to the side of our vehicle. And we were going to, I was driving, it's probably 75, 80 miles an hour at that time. Mm-hmm. And here is this long cylindrical silver object with no wings and no tail and not making any noise. It wasn't that far from us, and it tracked us for at least 15 minutes, but none of us can be certain. We can't really remember even how it left. We don't remember seeing it go away. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that it wasn't there anymore. So that really piqued my interest, and I just started really concentrating on reading up and studying ufology and paranormal my entire life.
Yeah. Nice. So, Jason, go ahead. You got a question? Got a thought?
No, I was just going to say, you know, that's pretty cool how, you know, with these kind of fields, all it takes is like that first initial experience, and then it's like you're hooked for life. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
You know, you just keep going further and further because it's like, you know, what's next? You know?
Yeah, I think everybody in this field, all of you, obviously, you get hooked and you can't stop because you want answers, and then there aren't any answers, and you keep digging, and you know, you just hope that someday you're going to know a little bit about what's going on.
Right.
I do have a question, Marge. Thank you for being on the show, by the way. I appreciate it. Now, you know, with a paranormal investigation, we know what we're doing, okay? There's that possibility we could get a ghost or not a ghost or whatever. But I, you know, ever since I've been on this show, I hear a MUFON, and I know people who are a MUFON, and they're decent people. But how, if someone spots a UFO, okay, what are your procedures at going and investigating the situation?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, that's a good one, and it's also very long and drawn out, so I'll try to shorten it. The first thing we do is speak to the witness, usually by phone. Okay. And get some details, get some information about it. A lot of these cases are just lights in the sky, and there's really not anything to investigate. But there are, you know, a few left over that are really compelling. So there could be something that's so unusual that, you know, we've got to dig. We've got to try to determine what it could possibly have been. So we look for a mundane explanation first. So, I mean, we have ways of finding out if things are satellites, if they're the ISS, if they're anything that's flying, any plane, any balloon, there's a record of that. And we can look that up and see what could it possibly have been. And a lot of times, you know, the most misidentified UFO in the sky is Venus. And yes, yeah, absolutely. And then, but now that's changed a little bit recently because of Starlink satellites. And these satellites travel, you know, in on a path, and they're equally distant apart, and they just freak people out because they look like UFOs if they'd never heard of them. So that is, you know, that really bothers not only the UFO community, but astronomers. Astronomers are complaining about these satellites. So that's the beginning of the procedure. And we start digging, and then if there's more to it, like if there's trace evidence, if a UFO has been close to somebody, and there might be evidence left behind on their property somewhere, on the grass or bushes or trees or things like that, we take samples and send them into the MUFON lab, which happens to be located in Missouri.
Right.
It's in St. Louis. And so we send those things in for analysis, and it could even involve DNA analysis. You know, there's all types of equipment that the lab's got. So that gives us more information. Basically, so, that's how it goes, but it can take up to 90 days to close a case.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, have you guys ever found DNA?
Yes, we have.
Oh,
yes,
really?
The lab has.
Cool.
Yeah. In fact, they recently did one that the witness went public with. It's Terry Lang. Terry Ling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's been talking about it openly. And they found that the DNA that they collected is from a lizard.
Oh.
Ooh.
Like a reptilian.
Of the lizard family. So that kind of, and what she saw was a reptilian.
Cool.
So there's some evidence there. There, right now we're working on one of my cases of a possible Mothman, or, you know, Mothman, Batman type creature, humanoid creature. The substance on the vehicle, there was this large, large amount of a substance on this witness's vehicle. And I took a sample, and it came back as urine from something very, very big. And it matches the pH of bat urine. So we now are waiting to get some samples of different types of birds or flying creatures, including bats and, you know, every type of large bird that we can get. And after the lab has that DNA, she'll be able to compare it. That's and awesome. I can't wait to hear that, because that case is it's a big case. There's evidence there is ongoing with this particular person who's had multiple sightings of this creature.
That's amazing. I find Mothman to be very scary. The big bird type creatures, more so than the reptilians. Well, the grays are pretty scary too.
So out of, all the investigations and everything you've done, like, to date, what would you say is, like, your most compelling piece of evidence that you've been able to gather?
Piece of evidence could be a picture,
okay,
video, or actual trace evidence. So I'm going to have to go with the video on this as far as most compelling.
Yeah.
Because what it is that these witnesses had an encounter with something with lights on it shining in their window all night long and keeping them up. And these orbs or balls of light running in their house throughout their entire house, and they were scared to death. And about 5:30 in the morning, when the sun started coming up, the witness got up, went down the hall, and started filming. Now, this happened several years ago, and he opened his back door and was looking outside, and he saw an ET. So he was filming it.
Oh, wow.
And this here, you see this ET looking out from behind a tree with his hand in front of the tree so you can see his hand the whole time. Then he peeks around and he goes back, peeks around. I mean, it looked like a little typical gray. It was kind of transparent, but it was pretty solid. I mean, there was definitely no question about what it was. And so I saw it. Another investigator saw it. We watched his tape as he played it on his camera. And it was one of those old tape type cameras.
Oh, VHS.
Video. Yeah. VHS. Well, not VHS. It was after that. It's a Sony Handycam type.
Those little cassette types.
And I brought every piece of equipment I could with me to just transfer that. And I didn't have anything that would work. So I said, look, I have something in my office. I'm going to take this tape, go to my office in Kansas City from Springfield, Missouri, and copy it, and I'll send you back the original tape. Okay. So that's what I did. I copied it, and then I'm looking at it, and this now it's on a CD. Everything looks normal. Everything looks the same. You see the backyard. You see him open the door. You see this tree there. There's no ET.
Oh,
where'd it go? This is interdimensional.
It disappeared. And the thing is that the night that I collected this evidence, the other investigator and I were tired. We were suddenly very, very tired, and I couldn't drive anymore. So we stayed in a hotel. That night, she thought she saw someone walking across the room, and she thought it was me and went back to sleep. But I never got up. It wasn't me. And so I think somebody actually knew where we were, traced it, came in the room, took the tape, has the technology to take something out of it that they don't want anyone to see. Yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That made me so mad. That had to be horrifying.
Yeah, that's,
that made that's... me so mad. Because, you know, there. But I will say this. I do have some other pictures that I'm going to be making public very soon.
Yeah, that was my next question is, are you going to make these public?
I'm going to, that one, obviously I can't, but I do have some that I am going to make public.
Cool.
And they're being kept in safe places.
Yeah, you better. Who took it? Do you think someone from the government, or are these actual, the ET, or did they come into the hotel?
I can only speculate on that. And I can just imagine that there's some faction of our government that does not want that public.
Right. You know? I agree. 100%.
Yeah.
Since we're on the topic of the government, with these new, what do you think they're going to tell us with these, that a report that they're doing on the Pentagon videos? What do you think that they're going to tell us?
You know, they've been making such a big deal about this one. You know, we've had other releases in the past, but this one is really making the media take special note of this, and they're taking it very seriously. So I think we're going to get a substantial amount of new information and probably some things on old cases that everybody wants to know about. But I don't believe that they're ever going to release everything.
No,
or everything they know, or everything they may have back engineered, or the fact that they may have ETs and craft being held somewhere. You know, they're not going to say that.
When we were talking on our other show, it was a few weeks ago, we were talking about the tapes, and we were talking with psychologist Brian Sharpless. And one of the questions was, if they are following us, watching us, why aren't they doing anything? And what you just said made me think, what if they want their craft, if we have one, back? Maybe they want it back, and that's why they're not doing anything. Or what do you think if you were an alien or from a different sphere in the universe, what do you think is their reasoning? Why aren't they doing anything if they're just watching us? If they're too intelligent, like Brian said, they're so intelligent, why would they need to take our body and do experiments on us when they're so intelligent? If they're, say their planet was dying, why, if they're so intelligent, they could figure it out, or they already know what our body's like if they're so intelligent. So what give us your scoop on it?
There are a lot of questions and few answers, But I will tell you this. Ever since I was young, I have been very psychic and a remote viewer. Mm-hmm. And I have actually been in contact telepathically and sometimes in person with extraterrestrials. One of them is Valiant Thor, who visited the Pentagon in 1957 and 1960. And if you don't know what that is or who he is.
I'm going to have to write that down.
Just get the book, Stranger at the Pentagon.
Stranger at the Pentagon?
Valiant Thor, yes. And he tells me that their purpose here is to help raise consciousness. But that they do not have the authority to directly interfere with goings on planet Earth. And it's very complicated. And the other part is that they're also here to protect the planet from negative entities who would wish us harm. And so this is why sometimes things have been caught, you know, from the space shuttle video of things being back and forth that look like missiles. And he says, you know, there's an actual war going on. And also that this is the reason that Star Wars was created and that there's really been a space force up there for many years. And we're just now being told, given a hint about that with the government. So there is a lot we don't know. There's a lot we don't understand. And why some of us are chosen by them to communicate with, I don't know. But he said they don't communicate with everyone. They do some. And I know some other people who have had similar communication and some with Valiant Thor. One of them is a Hollywood film producer.
Sean, what do you think about this? I mean, I know we talked about Ashtar Command. Is that the same guy or is that just a different?
I think we are talking about the Ashtar Command dude. I do. It's just, I think there's a good resemblance there between it. So we already had a guest on our show that talked about Ashtar, and you're pretty well like on the even keel with this Ashtar and the gentleman back in 1957. Yeah.
What do you think, Margie?
Yeah, he's a very, very high vibration being. When he first introduced himself to me in 1985, he called himself Thor, but then later he called himself Commander Thor.
Oh, wow. What did he look like?
Jason, you have something on your mind.
No, I was thinking about something you were talking about a little bit earlier there. Jenny, when you were talking about you know, the extraterrestrials or aliens like abducting people and testing people. Well, what if they're doing that to us? Like we do that to lab rats to find out different things that work or don't work or for testing, you know, because you don't really hear about all that, you know.
Good question.
It's kind of like the same thing. What if we're actually lab rats and they just pick and choose who they take?
Yeah. But Jason, Margie, they're so intelligent that they can come all the way, travel light years away. Do you think they would be dissecting us under a microscope if they're so intelligent that they can travel through space that fast?
Well, there's many, many different types, but also consider this, and I'm of the opinion that most of these UFOs that come into our space are interdimensional, that they're using our same space right now, but you know, they have to lower their vibration to third dimension to come into our dimension. Then they pop right back out. And that can explain why many of them just simply disappear. Or sometimes people see a flash and it's like a portal opening or a wormhole opening or closing. And they go in and out, and they also move extremely fast. This is the subject of one of my latest books, The Fast Movers. Some of these that we have been able to figure their rate of speed at over 8,000 miles per hour and being close to the Earth, 3,000 feet above the Earth. And that's something that you're just not going to see with the naked eye. And imagine if it's faster than that. And so they are interdimensional craft, but you know, yeah, some people there, they are doing experiments with, they do take some people and then put them back. In some very, very rare instances, there have been some people mutilations, just like animal mutilations.
Oh, wow.
But for the most part, that doesn't happen and they're not harming us. And so I believe that they're actually here to help us. And in some cases, there have been health benefits or a cure of something. And in my case, that happened to me like, oh gosh, probably 5 times that happened to me where I had a visitation and it was a telepathic communication. I sent the message out. If there's any benevolent beings around, would you please help me out? And the first time I did it, my feet had started hurting me so bad, I couldn't walk anymore on my feet. And there was no explanation. The doctors couldn't figure it out. And so I said, oh gosh, what am I going to do? Well, let me just ask, you know, for some help, because I've heard that some people had done that and they, you know, were lucky that it worked. So I fell asleep. Next thing I know, I'm awakened by this really, really bad, like pinch, like a needle going all the way to the bone in my calf. And it woke me up and I opened my eyes and I see these two short gray ETs standing at the foot of my bed. And they didn't look like, they didn't have big eyes. They had small eyes and nose and mouth. And I noticed that one of them had his hands out over my feet. And I screamed because, you know, that was my first encounter and I wasn't expecting it. You know, I was in a dead sleep and here's these ETs standing here. Anyway, when I did that, they disappeared. But I figured out later, they only disappeared because of my state of mind. I was not in the right meditative state of mind or between sleep and awake where I could see them. But I felt like they were actually still there after I did that and went back to sleep. Anyway, the next morning, my feet felt better. And by that night, they didn't hurt anymore at all.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. I think that intervention absolutely did it. And so they will help people if you ask.
Maybe I should help with my diet.
And my brain.
I mean, there were times when I tried to do, I had an experience when I was younger, that I saw something in my room and I was plagued all my adolescence with the shadow people. And they always looked like the grays. And I know a lot of like the psychologists and stuff said, oh, that's just something that happens like with sleep paralysis. There's no alien in your room or whatever. If you wanted to contact, like you just have to go into like a meditated state and just ask, or just, should I ask for the person by name? Like Thor? Could that work?
I wouldn't ask for Thor. Thor is very busy. I would ask. Yeah. The whole key to it is learning how to access the psychic center of the brain, opening up your third eye, so to speak, but it's really activating the pineal gland. Okay. Yeah. And because I'm a remote viewer and I've been doing this my entire life, I have become very skilled at it. So I teach people how to do this. I do a 2-day course on this and it's going to extend. It's going to be even longer. But I mean, the gist of it is by meditating every day and learning how to meditate correctly, you will get your mind to the state it needs to be in, to be in a light trance state, so that then you send this telepathic message out. And when you do, That message can travel, you know, through space and time. Okay. And you're directing it to any benevolent beings. So you're not just saying this type or whatever, you know, just be open-minded about it. Because if they would like to help you, you could just ask, if you'd like to help me, I have this problem. Please help me out. And I'm going to go to sleep and let you do your thing. And the reason I say go to sleep and do this right before bed is because you will be relaxed and open to this. Because if you were awake and you saw a strange being that wasn't human, it's a little off-putting. Yeah, it's a little scary. And you can't be in a you can't be afraid for this to happen. And so now, after this has happened to me several times, now I've actually seen ETs while I'm on investigations. They will show up and they're standing there. Wow, and they're watching what we're doing. It's fun. I wish I could have one knock on the door and come in and be in 3D, but that's not how it works.
Well, we have Margie. We have a caller on the line. Has a question for you. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. So I've been listening to the show. Great show. I was just curious. Now you say that these beings are like the aliens and the grays and are interdimensional. So do you think that you can, and you were talking about meditation and you can actually summon them. I've been researching a lot about HemiSync and the meditative program by Robert Monroe. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it. And I've thought about learning it myself just for the heck of it. But I believe that, my methods are probably very similar and that the end result is the same in activating the psychic center.
Similar, but did you hear that, caller? They're on a delay.
Do you use like the binarial frequencies in your methods, or
what kind
of methods do you use to actually, I guess, get an out-of-body experience into the astral plane?
She does.
That would be a deep meditative trance state and maintaining your consciousness so that your body falls asleep, but your consciousness stays awake in order to astrally travel. Now, what I do, and I do that, but it's more difficult than doing etheric travel. I send my etheric body out while I'm fully conscious, but in a very light trance state. And that's how I remote view. I will actually go to the location or let the location lead me. Say in the case of a missing person, the missing person will direct me to them. And I can't tell you that I fully understand how this works. I just stumbled across it in the 1990s while I was working with some attorneys, and one of their nieces disappeared. And so I found her, and I just asked, how am I going to find her? And I felt like her presence, like she was trying to lead me to her. And I saw this line come out of my solar plexus and just travel and go right to her while I was on the phone with the aunt. And so I'm conscious, and I call it a dual consciousness state, to where like half of my brain goes to a trance state and the other half is fully awake. It's kind of difficult to explain that, but that's kind of how it works. And I found the girl. I found the address, the street, the house. I knew exactly where she was on the property. They went back with the police and they found her, and she had been kidnapped. And the three people that did it went to prison. But I think anybody can learn how to do this because we all have the same physiology. I mean, it just makes sense.
Right. But here's a question I have for you, Marge. And this is for our viewers out there who are just starting to listen and starting to learn how to meditate. Would they not need, to trust their spirit guides in order to go out there? Because somebody could just go so-called do a meditation state that don't fully understand what you're talking about, and they can get burnt.
Well, that's why I want people to take my course. I don't want anybody to just meditate for 5 minutes and then go and start doing this, because you do have to learn how to protect yourself. Yeah. You need to learn protection methods.
What about the silver cord? Do you believe in that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. Yeah. Yeah, you're always attached to the silver cord when you go out of your body.
Okay.
And what I see is a dark cord, but it's the same thing. Comes out of the solar plexus.
Caller, is there any other questions?
Maybe just one more. I know that do you think that there's actually, I guess, extraterrestrials, or do you just truly believe that this, these beings that people are seeing and all the sightings going on in the government disclosure is, I guess, interdimensional? And that's my last question.
Well, I would have to say that interdimensionals and extraterrestrials are probably the same thing, because they're all alien to us, right? We're human beings living in the third dimension on planet Earth. But there's a whole lot of world out there that we don't fully understand yet. So if there are multiple dimensions, there could be beings coming in from these dimensions that are using our same space or near to our same space. But we could also have ETs coming from different planets and different solar systems and galaxies. And they're visiting us. And I think that's completely plausible. But that their transportation method is not anything like what we understand.
Yeah.
And right. If they're using a wormhole, you know, and they get from here to Mars in 7 minutes, suddenly the possibility doesn't sound so far-fetched that about travel in long distances and bending space-time. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of theories out there. I think physics is ultimately going to explain this to us, and they're working on it. Believe me, they're working on it. We'll leave that to the physicists.
Go ahead, Jason. And thank you, caller. Jason, you were talking about someone in the chat has a question.
Yeah, I was just reading in the comments real quick. And this goes back a few minutes ago, I guess, where we were talking about the astral projection and silver cord and stuff. Somebody said that that's how I got haunted by a demon. 10 out of 10 would recommend. I don't know what demon it was.
someone got haunted by a demon.
You do have to be careful.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you know it's a demon, commenter, a cyber demon? How do you know it's a demon? Maybe it's just a ghost in your house.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's true. Margie, how would you know? Margie, what's the difference? Do you know what the difference between a demon and a UFO, like an extraterrestrial or an extraterrestrial biological entity? Aren't they the same, basically, or not?
Most of the time, no. I don't think so. And I base that on the energy that the being emits. Like each person has their own energy pattern. And I'm very sensitive to vibration and energies. And I actually see them around the being. And but I do believe one thing. I think that in some cases, people have misidentified a reptilian type as a demon. Because of their appearance.
Yes. They are very demonic.
So I think there could be some mixing up. And I also think that, you know, people don't always understand what they see when they see something transparent walk through a wall that looks like a ghost. But then I ask what they look like. And in one case, the lady described gray ETs with big heads and big eyes and wearing very skin tight suits. And I said, well, and she was saying these are ghosts. You know,
or it could be their uniform or an astronaut thing.
So the commenter, he says that, you know, all jokes aside, he meditated and then was haunted by a demon for many years.
Okay.
What part of a meditation could cause something like that?
Well, if somebody doesn't have experience meditating and they go into it without doing any protection, at the very minimum, putting white light around you, bringing in white light through your body and extending that out 3 feet on all directions and above and below. I always recommend doing that before starting meditation. I also recommend having crystals near you, white, clear crystals, and having some type of a light on, a night light, something like that, because the dark side doesn't like any of that. Okay. They don't like any of that. And if you see, our thoughts create things. And if we think about creating a white light around ourselves of protection, there you go. There's your crystal. if we think that, then we have created it. Even if we can't see it, we've created that. Right. And there's so a wall of protection.
Like just putting it in your mindset.
Yeah. So you have to. People who are inexperienced are people who are inexperienced with using spirit boards, for instance, or opening a portal and without any protection and without saying goodbye and leaving them there and commanding that they stay. And the same thing with like ghost hunter groups or kids who don't have any experience are going out into graveyards. Right. I don't recommend that.
No.
That's not a good idea. You don't know what you're going to bring home with you.
So there's a, we have another commenter. She was saying that she was abducted by aliens in 1969 when she was six. And they left her out in her backyard. She's now 58 and still being followed. And then found out that has other family members that experienced the same kind of thing. So with being abducted, is it common for the UFOs or ETs they could like keep coming back to you and your family directly rather than just like abducting, leaving you, and then going somewhere else?
Most people who have close encounters like that have multiple experiences, even if they don't remember it until, you know, it could be years later and then something triggers the memory, or they may have hypnosis done and they find out, oh, that's actually been happening their entire life when they thought it was just a one-off. And it's also very common for those same type of people to have their entire family involved going back multiple generations. Okay. So, you know, we can speculate why that is. Perhaps they're following DNA. Perhaps they're following a group of people that they may have worked on, and then they want to follow their, you know, the people, you know, their like children, their children's children. And see what happened. I mean, a lot of people think that maybe these intelligences that are so far advanced, that they actually created humans in the form that they are now, or that we are now, and that they're following their creation, you know, what they created. and they're following what's going on. Because if you look at, you know, we have all these different races on the planet, and it makes you wonder, you know, where did each of these races come from? Well, some people speculate that they are DNA from different types of ETs, and that we're all human, but we're all, you know, different, a little bit different in some ways. And it can, and it's not only with appearance, but it's also with medical things or different blood types and things that might affect us, or we have a tendency to have certain diseases and things like that, whereas another group of people doesn't have that. And so it really makes you wonder, you know, where did we come from?
That's interesting. Real quick, we had a show on missing 411. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about that? Or
oh yes, I've read the books.
What can I ask? What your theory is on that?
I'll tell you what I think part of it is some rogue Sasquatches who are, I believe they are interdimensional beings.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because, oddly enough, I was doing a UFO case and a Sasquatch came into this, and I've been in touch with him since.
Oh, wow. And that was my next question. I was going to ask you that.
Oh, yeah. And then years later, he introduced me to his clan, and they have showed themselves to me, physically shown themselves to me on my property in the middle of Independence.
Yeah. Did they use a certain language? How did they communicate? Just through telepathy?
Telepathic. It's all telepathy. And when you are having a telepathic communication with someone who doesn't speak your language, or, you know, who knows where they're from, it's whatever your language is what you hear it in. That's how telepathy works. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Don't have to get a translator.
Bigfoot translator.
1-800 telepathic translator.
But the, you know, Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, they like to be called the Sasquatch people. They're in clans, they're in family units. They're extremely intelligent. In fact, they tell me that they're more intelligent than humans are. And I'm starting to believe it. I've learned a lot from them. And, you know, and there's a connection with ETs, with the Sasquatch. The ETs brought the Sasquatch here, is what they tell
me. I believe that.
Are they jerky?
Okay. Are they dangerous?
Most of them, no. There is a rule. They are not to harm humans, but occasionally you get a rogue, usually a male Sasquatch, who's angry about something, and he could cause some harm to people.
So if you're out there, your best bet would be to have a bag of Jack Links and throw it at him.
I'd take a bag of gummy bears and give it to him, and hopefully that'll make him go away and be happy.
Now, whenever you get these UFO sightings and with people calling in on you, do you check out the ley lines, that where the ley lines are?
I do. Okay. Yes. I have a book, Kansas City UFO Flaps, where I talk about ley lines and power centers and portals and things that make those things happen. I found a correlation between latitude, longitude, creating ley lines, and then also that there are ley lines next to some of these latitude, longitude hotspots. The first one I found was latitude 39. And longitude 94, so Kansas City. And then I also found that there are some major big ley lines going through that same spot. Mm-hmm. So we do have these hotspots for paranormal activity of all types. Doesn't matter what it is. In Kansas City, and then going south to 38 around Rich Hill in Nevada. And then 37, the Joplin Spooklight. The Joplin area, huge sightings, UFO sightings in Joplin. And then going straight across the state, we're into the Marley Woods, where Ted Phillips, investigated for years and years. And now Tom Ferrario has taken over that investigation. And there's, Sasquatch, just UFOs, balls of light, all kinds of unexplained stuff happening. I mean, weird stuff, even animal mutilations. And so, yeah, there's definitely a correlation.
Why are they mutilating animals?
I was just wondering that too. Like, what is it about animals?
Yeah. I haven't been able to figure that out, and I can't say I have a theory about it. But it's happening. I've done some investigations myself on this. In fact, I've got 70 in the state of Missouri cataloged right now, and then I've got hundreds cataloged from Canada and other states, and this is happening. It's happening now. It's always been happening, but people quit talking about it. So it's not in the news very often. Mm-hmm. When you see it, it's somebody who really doesn't know the history and they're totally freaked out. And it's usually a young rancher, but these older ranchers, it happens all the time. They don't talk about it. They don't want to be made fun of. And the sheriff's departments don't want anything to do with it. Mm. They stay away.
Do you think there's a connection between the 5G and that with these more sightings? Or what about the microwaves that they're talking about? These microwaves that are affecting people. Do you know what I'm talking about?
My gut feeling, remote viewing, that is that the 5G is actually put there on purpose to block us, to block our telepathic ability and our communication with higher intelligences, and it's messing with our minds. It's messing with our energy fields. It's altering things.
Now, is this 5G? Is that an extraterrestrial technology that we're receiving from them too?
Now that I don't know. That I don't. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that's our own creation, and it's because look, if we had the ability to communicate more easily, and we had the ability to telepathically communicate with other people and other intelligences, and we would see the truth about things. Mm-hmm. And I think there are certain factions who don't want the truth known about everything in our lives. I mean, just think about the government in general, that nobody trusts anymore for good reason. And they're covering things up. They don't want people to know. And if it was so, it'd be super easy if everybody was fully in tune with all of their abilities.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Margie, I've read a lot of books and I've also watched a lot of YouTube documentaries. And there are some suggestions that these abduction cases are really, they're not extraterrestrial, but they're from the government abducting us and using us as experiments for who knows what. What do you, yes, what do you doing that.
I think some of that is going on. I have a lot of witnesses who say they never saw an ET, they never saw a UFO, they just woke up and they're standing in a line and there's a bunch of people standing around in military uniforms. Or they were on a table and you were doing some kind of experiment on them and they saw people in military uniforms. And in some cases, they saw both ETs and military.
Working together.
In the same place, working together. I think there's a lot of possibilities. I'm open-minded about that.
Hmm. Sean, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to ask Marge here real quick. For our viewers again out there, does Spirit have a message through you to tell our viewers?
Well, when you say Spirit, I'm going to take that as a higher intelligence. I will just call it that. And that would be from Valiant Thor, from my connection with White Cloud and Medicine Woman. And I also have connections with Tall White Nordics. They all have a very, very high vibration. And their message is that we need to concentrate on ourselves and raising our vibration and our consciousness. Because that's how we advance from now and in through into former and future lives. That's how we advance, that we need to not pay so much attention to everybody else. We need to be looking inside at ourselves.
Well, I thank you for that. Thank you.
Jason, what's on your mind?
Oh, no, there's something in there. All kinds of things. So do you find yourself on your doing more? What do you enjoy more? It sounds like UFOs, but we're talking about paranormal stuff too. Like, do you really favor, or do you try to like work them together, how you try to figure things out?
I like both, because I don't think you can separate them, and I like to study all aspects of the paranormal, and UFOs are in that. That's under that paranormal.
Yeah.
Because there's Sasquatch in there, which I find fascinating. There's interdimensional travel. There's wormholes, and I was actually shown one time by some ETs, which was a crazy deal. I don't think I would just say paranormal in general. If it's weird, I'm interested in it.
Yeah. Well, that's like, the one investigation we did back in February, the Belair House. One of our investigators saw this creature and he drew it out, and it really resembled more of an alien than a spirit. And then a couple days, after the weekend was over, we were cleaning up, ready to go. We were moving some stuff around, and somebody previously, who knows when, drew something very similar to what he saw. Mm. So it was very alien looking, more than like a spirit form or an apparition, so I could really see how they really coincide together, So it was pretty cool to, think about how all that works together.
Well, if you think about it, if spirits are in the fifth dimension, which is what I believe, and ETs travel through the fifth dimension to get to us, there's some commonalities there. And so their appearance could be transparent or not fully formed. And both spirits and ETs can appear that way. In fact, they usually appear that way.
Right.
It would be
just kind of see like the outline, but you can see right through them.
You can see through them, but sometimes you can get color, but you can definitely see features. Sometimes they appear more solid than other times, but they're phasing in and out of dimension, if you will.
Okay. Perfect.
Okie dokie. We're going to have to wrap it up. Margie, we just got the bing, we have to go. But thank you. And we want to definitely have you back on the show. You're a great guest. I really enjoyed talking.
And
I'm sure our listeners felt the same way. So tell us, I have your links. I'm going to post those to the website and to Facebook so people can read more and hopefully attend one of those great conferences. But thank you again for joining us, Margie.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Great.
My pleasure.
Thank you guys for being back with us Thursday nights. We'll see you again next week. You guys all have a great weekend. Thanks again for tuning in to Chasing Prophecy.
Adios.
Here we are in the Writers and Illustrators of the Future Lounge at the Author Services Building in Hollywood. It contains a gallery of the writer and illustrator judges, a selection of the awards the contests have received,